When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Speak. I am Joy Taylor. Emmanuel Acho is out today. I will try to instigate a little bit less. Just kidding. I'm probably worse than him, but we'll find out. We're going to keep things moving. TJ Houshmandzadeh, Fox NFL analyst, is with us. Slick Rick the Bucher with us as always. And Eagles all-time leading rusher, Shady McCoy, two times.
Oh, don't leave her hanging.
Oh, my God.
Don't leave her hanging.
My bad. Are we this close?
We got it. Like, we got it.
We're
too far away. That's why I didn't go
about
smooth.
That music.
Yeah. We're arguing about Dipset before we started. We'll get to that later. Maybe in the last block.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started with Aaron Rodgers. He made it clear last week that he intends on playing with the Jets. One problem, he's still a Green Bay Packer. A report says the Packers want a first-round pick and more for the four-time MVP. So, Shady.
Yeah.
What should the Packers do with Aaron Rodgers?
I think it's time to move on. I think, like, the situation where it's like he's traded to the Jets, but he's not officially traded to the Jets. Mm. And I feel like the Packers are trying to hold on to this special piece they had for so long. Like, relationship where, listen, it's over. Right? You sure we can maybe? No, we can't. We can't work nothing out. Get your belongings and get out. That's the problem. Like, they want to hold on, so... I'm happy that A-Rod, you know, came out and he talked about what was really going on. Because I thought the whole time it was him slowing the whole process up. And it really was the Packers. Let this guy go. We've seen different players this year get traded, you know, at superstar players get traded for third rounders, fourth rounders. Let him go. I think that now you have Jordan Love, who you drafted in the first round for a reason. You thought that he would be the next piece, the next heir of the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So now let him get his time. And I think now you can move on. You can get your pieces together to help the team out. You can get rid of the A-Rod. I know every day that the players, the coaches, they're tired. Are we keeping him? Are we not keeping him? Are we trading him? Is he gone? Is he staying? Let's move on. Send him to the Jets. Both teams, they move on, and they go with their future.
To the left. I don't think that the Packers should let him go for less than a first-round pick. If we're talking about Aaron Rodgers as much as we are, if this is such a big deal and such a big move, such a big trade, and the Jets are going to get Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to move on to their future in Jordan Love, why wouldn't they be making a first-round pick exchange? This is two-time MVP, back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers, four-time league MVP. It's Aaron Rodgers. You should be getting a first-round pick for him. If he's not worth a first-round pick, then we really shouldn't be putting this much hype around this trade. It's not really going to make that much of a difference. The Packers have a little bit of leverage here, and they should use it. Because normally, let's be honest, the Packers, they don't really do business in my favorite way. They aren't the most aggressive. They don't always win negotiations. And in this situation, it feels like Rodgers and the Jets kind of have the Packers in a corner. I don't really see it like that. The Packers should get a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. He's a $50 million player and a quarterback. If all we're saying is the Jets desperately need a quarterback, they're right there. They could be contenders if they get a quarterback. Well, then the Packers should demand that. It's not. I don't even think it's greedy to say a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers is a reasonable trade and a reasonable ask. I think anything less than that, the Packers are quite frankly really losing in this situation. But, Rick, what do you think?
I'm somewhere between the two of you. I believe that the Packers should get as much as they can, whether that's a first-round pick or whether it's cap relief, whatever it is. But look, they've decided. They're not holding on to anything. They've decided. They're parting ways. It's just a matter of when and for how much. And if I'm the Packers at this point, I'm trying to get as much as I can, and I'm going to take as much time as I need to make that happen. I don't have to do the Jets any favors, and I don't have to do Aaron Rodgers any more favors than I have to get him to agree to the contractual things that I need to get done. Now, I don't want to get into the weeds on all that, but they do have to negotiate a few things.
Yeah.
So I can't just torch him as much as if I were the Packers, I would want to, because of the thing that he did with Pat McAfee and just basically, you know, what I'm
the truth.
I'm victimized by the Packers, and finally, you know, I just need to move on. All of that stuff, that would rub me the wrong way if I'm the Packers. But I still have business to do with Aaron to get what I need to get out of this situation. So I'm going to play nice. I'm going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to play nice.
You got to trade Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers, I don't agree with a first-round pick. Aaron Rodgers is going to turn 40 years old. I'm not giving up a first-round pick for somebody that's going to turn 40 years old during the season. I'm not doing it. And they look at what the Rams gave up to get Stafford and what Denver gave up to get Russell Wilson. Those guys are 34 years old.
Yeah.
That's a six-year age difference.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, for the last few years, has been talking about, I may retire. This may be my last year. You think I'm giving up a first-round pick for that? I'll give you a second, and I don't even want to give you a second. A four-time MVP, when was the last one? A couple years ago. Everybody talked about how bad Aaron Rodgers played last year. They had a chance to go to the playoffs last year. They couldn't even win their division.
Yeah.
But the Jets are going to get him.
They could win their division. And so everybody talked about how bad Aaron Rodgers was playing. If he was playing that bad, why are you going to hold him for a first-round pick?
Right.
He will be energized going to the Jets, so I believe he will play better. And the Packers need to be careful with this. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are the two players we think of when you think Green Bay Packers. You don't think everybody is seeing this. You don't think later down the road they're going to want to have Aaron Rodgers come back and retire his number in his jersey. They better tread lightly because they can ruin a relationship with him long term because they're being petty now. And you know about petty, so you should understand that part.
That's a good point because, you know, they were begging Brett Favre to come back. When he retired, it wasn't just, oh, he's retired, oh, come back and retire your number. No. That took some time for Brett Favre to come back to Green Bay. Like you talked about, it's only two players you really think about, A-Rod and Brett Favre. But real quick, let's look at the last couple of trades that happened, though. So Darren Waller, he went to the Giants for a third-round pick. Jalen Ramsey went to the Dolphins, third-round pick. Stephon Gilmore went to the Cowboys for a fifth-round pick. So, like,
not quarterbacks.
But this is the thing, though.
Right, so you give him a second.
Hold on. 40-year-old quarterback, right? He's not the four-time MVP. He's not that no more, right? He's still solid. He's not that. With these other young guys, they're still playing at an elite level. If Jalen Ramsey make an all-pro next year, would you be surprised? I won't be surprised. Stephon Gilmore, go out there and have a Pro Bowl year. I'm not going to be surprised. So if that value is third-rounders or fourth-rounders, like, why are you trying to get so much from A-Rod? He's 40 years old, and he talks about retiring every other year.
You want to answer this?
I'm just confused. Is this a big deal or it's not?
Yeah. It's a big deal. It's just not worth the first-rounder. It's a big deal because
you're already saying he's out the gate.
This is, you know, he's just following Big Bro in his footsteps off to the Jets. Like, we shouldn't be hyping this up. This shouldn't make a big difference in the AFC.
Well, follow him in all aspects and make it a conditional pick like they did with Brett Favre. Let's follow it completely.
That I'm okay with. I'm okay with negotiating something that makes sense for both the Jets and the Packers. But this idea that the Jets don't need Aaron Rodgers is laughable to
me. They need him.
I don't know when the Jets became the belle of the ball. The last time I was interested in the Jets was 13 years ago, and that's the last time they were good. And I was an actual Jets fan. I still have that jersey. It's been a long time. This is not some perennial situation where the Jets are like, no, we're going to bring him in. We don't need this. We can negotiate that. Who are the Jets who didn't make the playoffs last year? The Jets who actually right now have no quarterback because
so
we know Zach
Jets,
Wilson
Joy,
is the
you're
guy.
Giving up the 13th pick in this year's draft, the 13th pick for Aaron Rodgers.
Isn't
giving
the
that
whole
up?
Point of this, though, that you're going all in with the roster that you have now, if you're the Jets? You're not building for the future if you're the Jets. Bringing in Aaron Rodgers is a temporary go-all-in situation.
I think we're always building for the future, but looking towards the present. We're always building for the future. Like, I'm not the 13th pick.
You get a lot with that.
But my question is, who are you to hold on to that pick? Like, we may end up being right, and they don't give it up, and they let him go for a fourth-round pick, which to me
I'll give him
insane.
A second. I'll give him a second.
I'll probably do a second. Second and a fourth. Because the first rounder at 13th, you can get a lineman for that.
You're getting a starter.
Or you can get something. You get something to help A-Rod out. But it's like, it's hard. This is my issue. It's hard for the Packers to request or want so much from the Jets when basically you already got A-Rod out the door. Everything, every report you see is he was great when he was here. He had a great career here.
Yeah. It's past like, tense.
Past tense, and they're moving on. And now they talk about when they want to push out Jordan Love to be the starter. So now it's like, you're saying this stuff, but then requesting so much for the trade value. That don't make sense to me.
It's not a matter of what he's worth to the world at large. It's a matter of what he's worth to the New York Jets. They just signed Alan Lazard. Why did they do that? Okay, yes, a good wide receiver, but they signed him because they're expecting Aaron Rodgers to be there, right? So let's say they don't do a deal. You know what? First round pick's too much. We're not trading for Aaron Rodgers. Now what are they doing? Do they have a plan B? Where are they going? Who's going to make Alan Lazard?
They don't have
Green, hold on. Ask Green Bay the same question, though. That's right. Ask Green Bay the same question.
But they still have Aaron Rodgers. Like
they don't have cap space.
They don't have to trade him. They don't have to trade him.
And then what?
Then you play Jordan Love or you play Aaron Rodgers.
You think A-Rod?
He's making $60 million guaranteed. So, he's going to play. 100%.
Yo, but you see him miss
every practice and he's going to play.
It's a player you don't mess around with. It's A-Rod. Everybody talks I won't play. He won't play.
I'm telling you. Okay, well, he was going to retire and he didn't retire. Hey, well, here's the distinction, though. You guys were comparing him to Brett Favre. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are not leaving under the same terms. Like, Brett Favre was still very much beloved in Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers fans that I talk to are ready for Aaron Rodgers to move on. They weren't like that with Brett Favre because they didn't know what they were getting in Aaron Rodgers. And as much as they don't know what they're necessarily getting in Jordan Love, all of the drama around Aaron, which you've talked about.
Yeah.
Has soured the people in Green Bay. And yes, you want to bring him back and you want
to. So get rid of him then. Like, let him go.
Shady's right. He's out the door. Yeah. Like, he's staying somewhere else. Right. The clothes have been packed. He's out the door. They're not living together anymore.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of paperwork at this point. But what's happened is he's said, I'm going to the Jets.
Right.
So. This is the only place we're negotiating with. There are not other places on the table. Correct. But Aaron has to agree in some ways to play there because he's 40 and he's talked about retiring and all of that stuff. Nobody's going to give up a big haul for somebody who's not going to go play there. So even though he can't say, I don't want to go, it's Aaron Rodgers and he can't. So when you're in a negotiation with one entity, that's where, to me, I'm like, we have a little bit of leverage here if you're the Green Bay Packers. Don't give it up just because Aaron's already living somewhere else and you guys have already said y'all don't want to be together anymore.
But he's not. He's living in the basement or he's living in the ADU. He hasn't technically moved out.
He hasn't moved out the city, but he has an apartment down the street.
He got enough money. He's just going to go get a penthouse. Well, he has enough money.
But now that he said, I want to play, and now I expect to get my 60 mil. Do you really think he's going to turn around and retire?
Well, we will certainly find out. Someone else who is negotiating a situation and at the quarterback is Lamar Jackson. What is going on with him? It sounds like he's ready to talk contract, and we will tell you how we like how he's handling everything next on Speak. All right, let's get to the Lamar Jackson situation. Teams can negotiate with him, but we have not heard a lot of talk from the former MVP yet. It sounds like Lamar is ready to talk about his contract situation. He recently teased a sneak peek of an exclusive interview with himself on his YouTube page. So, Shady, do you like how Lamar is handling his
contract? Yes, you gotta finish. Yes, I love it. I wish when I was in my prime, I had something like that YouTube channel Shady McCoy Speaks or something like that. I don't know. But even when A-Rod did it on the Pat McAfee show, yeah. I loved it because there was so many different rumors out, stories out. Oh, A-Rod has a long list. He's this and that. And he's holding it up. And then he spoke like, no, that's not the truth. And you get it from the source's mouth. You ever had the rumors? Like, I say something to you and you say it to him. And then when it gets back to me, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it telephone?
Mm-hmm.
That game. So now Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson with this new thing on his YouTube channel.
Page, yeah.
I love that. Because we get to really hear what's really going on. We get to hear the real offers on the table. You know, we hear that, oh, it was 3 for $133. We don't know what it is. It could be less than that. It could be more guaranteed, less guaranteed. Now that Lamar Jackson can control his narrative on the story of what's really going on, I love that. Because now
I have my own true feelings about this, the contract situation. Should he have a real agent or is his mom or this and that? And I want to hear what he has to say. So, yes, I love the way he's controlling it and he's letting the people know what's really going on. Slick. Because people like you is hating on a boy and I don't like that.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
No. I can't give you an answer because I don't know what he's handling. Like, I haven't heard anything. All I know is that Lamar Jackson doesn't have anything on the table. He doesn't have teams that are vying for him. He doesn't have other than what the Ravens offered him last summer that he turned down. So how am I supposed to gauge how he's handling it? The fact that he's going to speak, okay, well, what is he going to say? And I'm sorry, Shade.
Uh-oh.
But
uh-oh.
His side of things isn't necessarily the truth. It's his side of things. And then you have the Raven side of things. And somewhere in between there is the Ravens, actual truth.
They don't have a side. They don't have a YouTube channel. They didn't speak. They didn't say what they offered.
Oh, no. It's been, no, but they
see,
stated.
You see, this is the issue we have, though, is what people are saying. I haven't seen nobody came out from the Ravens saying, this is what we offer Lamar Jackson. You're have right. you? Because if not, I got to do better homework.
And we haven't heard that from Lamar Jackson either.
And he's about to.
Oh, is he?
Ooh.
Do we know that?
It's on the way.
Are you going to guarantee me that?
It's on the way.
No, look, I want to suspend my estimation of what he's doing and how he's doing it. Because he hasn't done anything. Technically, he hasn't done it. And I'm all for you in terms of players speaking for themselves.
That's right.
And doing that. But there's a game that's being played here, TJ, which is like the game of negotiation. And it's not just a matter of telling your truth. It's what you're making the other side believe in terms of where the line stands, in terms of what you want. I don't know what Lamar Jackson wants. So how am I supposed to gauge that he's closer or farther away from what he's actually trying to accomplish?
Man, Rick, it's pretty much the same thing. I don't know how he's handling it. Now, if he comes out on this YouTube channel and gives us some clarity, that's fine. If he does exactly what Shady is saying, then that's fine, because he can't control his own narrative. The Ravens said they offered this. Lamar said he was offered this. I was told from somebody with the Ravens, they offered him the second most guaranteed money in the history of the league. So that's in between Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson basically has come out and said that isn't the truth, but did he really come out and say that? We don't know until he gets on his YouTube channel and says, this is what was offered to me, and give everybody clarity so we can just stop. Yeah. Oh, they offer Lamar this. Oh, they offer Lamar that. I don't know how he's handling it. And I want to see him maximize his earnings, because the last 2 years you've been hurt. And you should have been on your second contract like other guys in your draft. You can't get this time back.
That's true.
And so if he gonna get out on his YouTube and tell us what's going on, I like how he handling it. Until then, I don't know.
Here's the problem I have. He did the nice guy thing. He tried it. And it did not work. The Ravens did not reward it. They didn't negotiate with him peacefully and quietly like Josh Allen did with the Bills or Patrick Mahomes did with the Chiefs. It's become messy and public, and stories and quotes and YouTube channels, and the Ravens say this and Lamar says that. That's what he's got to do. You only get to play me one time. You better make it worth it, honey. Because after that, it's good girl gone bad and they don't come back.
Mm.
You hate to see it.
Jay-Z said that all the time.
He does.
It's a good girl going
forever.
Bad.
She's gone forever.
Gone forever. It's very sad to see, but it's done. Lamar tried it. We talked about this at the beginning of the season last year. Lamar Jackson did the right thing. He showed up. Guys never show up when they're negotiating.
Yeah.
Showed up, played, clearly tried to play through injury, got banged up again.
Mm.
The Ravens have not rewarded it. All right, now we got to make it messy. That's what you do in negotiations. It's not, we don't all like it. It gets uncomfortable. It's, I don't know, you're throwing, you know, shade at this person and we got to do YouTube pages. But this is what Lamar Jackson has to do if he wants to make the money that he's saying he wants or that we think he wants.
Sure.
Which is a fully guaranteed deal like Deshaun Watson got, which right now is the market. Until the next guy comes up, Because we know Kyler Murray is not in the same conversation as a Lamar Jackson or a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow. So until one of those guys comes up and gets less than that, right now, Deshaun Watson is the market. So if he's got to make it messy, he's got to make it messy. He tried the nice guy thing. It didn't work.
So is he making it messy, though?
I think it has gotten a little bit. We don't know. And this is why I'm interested to see what he has to say on the YouTube page, because we don't have any clarity.
I think so. I think because, first of all, like, you can't really pressure owners. They got all the money, right? But I think that concerns, like the fans, they pay season tickets every year, and they care about that. Every year, I remember playing with different teams, they find, like, different strategies to, like, make, you know, get more season ticket holders, right? Get more fans, get more people involved. So now when our main player we come to get season tickets every year is saying, well, listen, this is what the Ravens offer me. I don't know what you heard, but this is what they offer me. This is what they're telling me. Now, we even know, like, small things, like, oh, they might have different clause in there in his contract, right? Because teams do that.
Yep.
So when he puts that out there, the same reaction we had with Kyler Murray, when they gave him that guaranteed money, but they said, hold up, but you got to, you know, do X amount
of time. He's going to take it that far. I don't see
we
him.
We don't, but you don't
I
know.
I don't see that
but hold on real quick. When we seen Kyler Murray, when they said you got to have this many hours for tape.
Right.
Then we were all like, what? The reaction. So let's reverse that. Now let's have it's on the owner's side of things, where they might have some in the contract where Lamar Jackson's not agreeing with. It could be whatever it is. Like, it makes the eyes look at the Ravens a little different. Like, hold up, why don't you want to pay this ex MVP? Why you want to pay this franchise quarterback? Now, it might not cause pressure because they are the owners, but concerns.
I mean, the NFL is a year-to-year business. The Baltimore Ravens cannot afford to not have Lamar under center.
I agree.
You're drafting late, so you're not drafting a franchise quarterback this year.
Right.
It's just...
And you lose when you don't play.
When I look at it, it's really odd to me because the Ravens have always signed their best players a second contract.
Right.
They're one organization. If you're a good player, you play with the Ravens, you're getting a second deal. And so that's why I want some clarity. I want to know what's going on. Because I'll form an opinion and say, the Ravens are at fault, or maybe Lamar needs to give in. But Dre makes a great point. Kyler Murray is not on
right.
Deshaun Watson's right. and Lamar Jackson's level. And so his contract cannot be any type of starting point.
We can't even talk about his deal.
Yeah,
no, it can't.
All right, hold on, though. They made him an offer last summer. We're not disputing that, right?
I was made an offer one time when I was playing. I ain't like it, but they made me an offer.
Okay.
Nobody's saying that the Ravens didn't make an offer.
3 years, $133 million. Based on everything.
What they say.
Was that an unreasonable number? Was that that's what we really have to come to. Were they insulting him with that number? Because based on what Russell Wilson got and some of the other numbers that came out, was it better than Deshaun Watson's? We've gone back and forth on this.
Yeah.
Just because the Browns were crazy.
Right.
And the Ravens
now, the Browns are just trying to win.
We're not going to be crazy, too. They made him an offer, and he turned it down. He bet on himself. He was going to go for the full boat.
You know what is odd that you would call that crazy, because the NFL is not used to that. You see guys in the NBA sign guaranteed contracts and put up 10 points a game. Or they out the league in the league in 2 years. Guaranteed. I can name some of these guys.
There's a lot more guys on the field for the NFL. Like, it's a different structured sport.
There's only on every NFL team, there's probably four guys on every team that are those type of players.
Sure.
Everybody's not getting that. Nope. He was one of those guys. I was one of those guys on that team where it's 4 to 5 guys that you relate to that. Everybody's not going to get it. But a guy like Lamar Jackson, he's earned it.
Yeah.
But again, I need some clarity, because I don't like what's going on and what I see how the situation is being handled.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is that there's so much. There's the owner saying that he didn't like Deshaun Watson's deal, which is pretty illuminating to why this might not be getting done. So Bishotti was the one that came out and said, I don't like this deal was done, and I don't think Deshaun Watson should have got it. Well, Lamar Jackson's his quarterback, and he's the next one up, and he wants that deal. So that could be the one thing that's holding it up. But I'm ready to hear from Lamar himself and have him let us know what's going on.
We better get the truth from Lamar, too. We better get the real.
Hey, that's,
you know what I'm
that's
saying?
What Lamar is. That's
I don't
all
think he's
he does.
Alive.
He wins games. He affects winning.
I'm just saying.
I don't think Lamar lies.
I don't think he is either. Coming up, the Cowboys have been very busy, but have their moves made them better? We're putting a grade on their offseason next on Speak.
Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander is your only place for the World Baseball Classic coverage. Hi, I'm Ben Verlander, host of Flippin' Bats.
And I'm Alex Curry, co-host of Flippin' Bats. From Taiwan to Phoenix and Miami, we'll be providing you daily updates on all the action taking place in this year's WBC.
So wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to like and subscribe us at Flippin' Bats.
Let's check in on our social life. The Dolphins announced they have picked up Tua Tagovailoa's fifth-year option, keeping him in Miami until 2024. Remember, Tua missed four games due to concussions last season. So, Shady, did the Dolphins make the right move picking up Tua's fifth-year
option? Yeah, I think so, man. Gains a lot more confidence, right? Knowing he's going to be there for the next 2 years. He's been up and down, I think, just with the management. Not sure if they want to keep him. We heard so many rumors if it was Deshaun Watson, if it was Tom Brady. And then, you know, McDaniels comes over there and gives him a shot as a starter. He's balling out, get him some weapons, and then he gets hurt, right? Comes back again, then he gets hurt. And it was head, not like with his arm or his finger he had, with his head, you know. So I think it's good for them because they can evaluate him. And they can really see, like, okay, we got 2 years to see if Tua is going to be our guy. Can he stay healthy? Can he be the guy we need for the future? So you get 2 years to see what it is. So I like the move.
I mean, financially, it makes the most sense. You can't put yourself in a situation.
It's like, getting expensive.
This is the game the Giants played last year, and then they ended up having to pay Daniel Jones. Yeah. So what you don't want to do is not pick this up, and then you've got a franchise tag Tua for over $40 million if Tua has a good season this year, which outside of those injuries, he wins games.
Yeah.
So this was the smart move. And if you want to keep him and give him a long-term deal after this year, you're in a much better negotiating position. Like you said, Shady, it's his team.
Right.
You're saying you're committed to him, which, God, I lost track the amount of people that have been rumored to take over this quarterback position since Tua has been there. So I think financially it was a great move, and just for the stability of the franchise, saying Tua is our guy and we don't have to have conversations about who he's going to get replaced with was smart. Do you like it, Rick?
I'm so glad that we finally found something that we agree on.
Oh, we all agree? Well, we didn't get to TJ yet.
That's true. Okay.
I might change my answer. Do you agree with
us? Yeah, tic-tac-toe.
I'll change my answer. Change my answer.
We agree sometimes.
No, look. Let's face it, they're not doing him a favor necessarily because the number is so good.
Right.
And if you look at what he did this past season, if you can get that at the price that the
it'll be $23 million next year.
That's a bargain. And at the same time, it's not a long-term commitment. So you can find out, can Tua stay healthy? Can he continue the role that he had last year? And meanwhile, we can invest in other pieces. And then we can make a decision down the road. So, I don't know, TJ.
TJ?
No, Connect Four. I like it.
All right.
Okay, all right.
I mean, he has 34 games to show the Dolphins that he can stay healthy. Yeah. And that's what they're not going to extend him anytime soon. He needs to show them that he can stay healthy. But I've always thought Tua was a good quarterback. Even after his rookie year, I did so many interviews, what you think? I've always thought Tua was good. If you give him the type of weapons he played with at Alabama, he'll get it done. And when you got him Tyreek Hill and a coach that believed in him, that was the thing. His rookie year, he had two offensive coordinators. His second year, he had another offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And Brian Flores just didn't believe in Tua. Mm. And you get McDaniel in there, and they had that belief in him.
Yeah.
You know you can make mistakes and not worry about, oh, man, it's the fourth quarter. They're going to take me out and put Fitzpatrick in to do this two-minute drive. It's the confidence that they're showing him we have in you. But he has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
If he doesn't stay healthy, it's tough.
Well, we all agree on that. Will we agree on Dallas? I doubt it. Let's move on to the Cowboys. The Cowboys have been very busy this offseason. They've released longtime starter Ezekiel Elliott, but they also made big trades for former Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore, and wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Our own Dave Hellman, shout out Dave, wrote on FoxSports.com that the move for Cooks perfectly fits with the team and their philosophy. Not surprising there. Rick, what grade do you give the Cowboys this offseason?
A++. Man!
That's like passing twice, huh? Sheesh.
I'm channeling my inner Dave Hellman right now. No. It's the Cowboys. I'm grading on a curve. When was the last time the Cowboys...
Without the curve, it's still an A, though.
Well, fair enough.
A plus.
Well,
he's an A plus.
Yeah. All right, let's be real. Free agency, when we say who wins and loses, How many times does it really impact what ultimately happens the following season? Not always. So we can go through this exercise. But based on what the Cowboys have traditionally done and what we think of them, this has been great. I know you love getting Gilmore and what that does for them and their secondary and their defense overall. They're going to be beasts. But they also did some of the little stuff. They got Vander Esch back on a really good contract. They got Donovan Wilson, their safety, back.
Solid.
They retained a lot of their talent from last year, and they just didn't retain it, but they retained it on really good contracts. Cooper Rush they bring back. I mean, you got a little bit of a fan favorite there. So when I add all of it together, do I think it's going to result in some quantum leap by the Cowboys? I'm not going to go that far.
You gave them an A++++.
Yes, right. Because in free agency, if we're just measuring on what they've done in the offseason, when was the last time that we talked about the Cowboys in glowing terms, in good terms, about free agency? Yeah, so
see that?
Exactly.
You start
talking about the Cowboys, Cowboys in the studio, freaking right, the lights start to go shaky on you.
TJ, what grade are you giving them?
I'm giving them a B. And you spoke of they brought back Donovan Wilson and Vander Esch and they signed Gilly. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys were really good on defense last year. Mm-hmm. They'll be better on defense this year. Mm. What happened when they needed that offense to step up?
Oh, here we go.
They didn't get better on offense this year.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
We didn't mention
it. But did they get better? Like, I'm not so sure of that. Brandon Cooks is a good receiver. But Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, Sean McVay all was like, I like you, but I don't like you that much. Mm. And so he's a good receiver. If I'm going to release Zeke and then bring in Brandon Cooks, I want Amari Cooper. If I'm Dak Prescott, look how Dak plays with Amari Cooper. He plays very well. And so they got better on the defensive side of the ball, but they were already good on defense. Mm. They needed to improve on offense, and I don't know if they have.
Mm. Shady?
I agree with you, but in a different approach. Offense-wise, I mean, did they get Aaron Rodgers? They had a new quarterback? I just want to be clear here, like, if you approve on offense, I mean,
you didn't even give his name.
No, but I'm saying, so first of all, they're not an A++++. That's scratch.
What?
I'm gonna give him a B.
I love
the move. First of all, Stephon Gilmore is lights out. He's won games last year with the Colts by himself. He had to close out games, he got picks, sealed the game away. I look at the Cowboys where you got Diggs on the other side holding it down. Now you got Gilly on the other side. They already get a tremendous amount of pass rush, mm-hmm. right? With Parsons, the Marcus Lawrence up there getting to the quarterback. So now you add in the cornerback. Cool. Look at the offense. Like, you talked about bringing Amari Cooper back. I hear you, but CeeDee Lamb's the one. I had questions about CeeDee Lamb in the beginning of the year. He proved to me that he's the number one receiver. All right? Then you tag Tony Pollard. You give her to Zeke. I get it. You get your another power back. You know, sure, yardage. You can get that somewhere else. You got Pollard in there. Big time player. So when I look at this team, the only thing they're missing to be an A++ is the position that loses the game when the game's on the line, right? Because everybody we talked about,
who's that guy?
Y'all know who it is. Y'all know who it is. Dak Prescott. Real quick, and I won't kill Dak on this because it's still early. It's still early. But if you look at the games they lose, it's not Zeke's fault. It's not Pollard's fault. It's not Brandon Cook's fault. It's not gonna be his fault. It's not CeeDee Lamb's fault. It's Dak's fault.
Yeah, it's really
every time they lose games, it's his fault. It's not the defense. They play the Niners, right?
And you got to get open. You got to create separation.
When you watch them picks, because I like guys like him because he's a wide receiver and he's outspoken. When you watch that game, right, and you see them picks, that ain't the wide receivers not getting.
I will say this past season, it was a little different.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
It was a little different with Dak and interceptions. It was majority of them were Dak's.
Okay.
Now the year.
Now I can move on.
But
now I can move on. That he proved my point.
He didn't have Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper creates a ton of separation. He creates separation.
Dak is a different, a wildly different statistical player with Amari Cooper and
right.
without him. Now,
wow.
That's not Amari Cooper. That's on the Cowboys for not keeping Amari Cooper. But I'm with you, Shady. I mean, you know.
He on a whole other team. What are we talking about?
I had to convert to that.
You have somebody and you let them go and you can't get them back.
I'm giving them a B, too. So we're not really all disagreeing that
B's.
Much.
They got a good team, though. They got a good team.
They always had a good team.
And they add on to on defense or offense.
They had a Super Bowl contending team. last year.
I agree.
Except for the position that matters most, which is not how I felt.
Is what?
The quarterback. So, that's not how I felt going into the season, though. I felt like Dak Prescott was a guy who was capable of winning a Super Bowl. I no longer feel that way. I feel like he is in the category of a Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to keep you competitive, who can win games, who we've seen be able to be a star.
And while you didn't let you down?
But when it comes down to the biggest moments, he doesn't get it done. And quite frankly, if you look at who's won the Super Bowl the past 5 years, it's been a guy that's that guy.
All right. Mm. So I'm grading on a curve, and you guys are grading on a freaking slide.
No. We didn't even in a buck, Rick.
Right.
You're saying.
Right. That's all.
So the only way they could have gotten an A in your minds is if they had traded Dak Prescott or they had gotten a different quarterback. That's what I'm hearing.
There was no
upgrade.
They were going to move on from Dak Prescott.
But the upgrade on that team, seriously though, like that team is really, really good. So like what type of upgrades will make them an A++? Only but the position that loses them.
I'm not saying that they're an A++ team. I'm saying as far as free agency is concerned, it was an A++ free agency period for the Cowboys. Don't confuse the two. You guys are I'm glad I did not have you as
I'm also keeping
teachers.
I'm also
that's
keeping
impossible.
You might have got a D.
Mess with me. Yeah.
Clearly.
Professor McCoy,
can't be a minute late.
No kidding.
I got these glasses on.
No curve,
doctor,
right here,
for a reason. I'm grading on slide because I don't know what the offense is going to look like. Mike McCarthy is calling the plays now. So this is going to be a different offense this year. Mm. Zeke is not there. While Zeke wasn't the same player he was, he is he's a presence in the locker room. He was somebody that Dak had a close relationship with. I think they can replace Zeke as far as production goes in the draft. I think they should draft a running back high. But Brandon Cooks is, the name that is getting everyone excited outside of Gilmore. So, TJ, how much do you think he's going to contribute to this offense?
Oh, he'll contribute because he can get down the field. Brandon Cooks can run. Like, he's fast. Now, are they going to play that brand of football to where Dak just lets the ball go? Brandon Cooks is not a tall receiver. He's about 5'10". And so at the tallest, maybe 5'9". Does Dak feel comfortable? When you have shorter receivers, you have less room for error. You can't lead a ball high. That ball may be picked. And so his entire career, he's played with bigger receivers. CeeDee Lamb is 6'2". Amari Cooper is 6'1", 6'2". Dez Bryant. Those are bigger receivers, and so you got a smaller receiver. He may look covered. Are you going to let that ball go just knowing, okay, he will go get to that? Is Mike McCarthy going to call those plays where it's like he may look covered, just let that go? You don't know. But it's a Brandon Cooks can play. But it's a reason all these really good coaches have said, nah, this is it.
This is how I'm going to grade the Brandon Cooks, and I may have to revise my grade because I want to see if DeAndre Hopkins gets moved, and if he gets moved, for what? Because if you're telling me that I could have gotten D-Hop instead of Cooks, then that'll change the way I look at the acquisition of Brandon Cooks.
Man, Hop, that salary, I don't know if they want to take that on.
And those are two number one dominant players, him and the CD. I don't know if they would gel together. With Cooks, I think you can make him a number two.
Well, I think what we learned is we all would like Professor Rick because the rest of us grade a little.
How you grade with people not coming to class?
We on the dean's list in your class. Right? We on the dean's list in your class.
You worked on music. Look, Rick got us. Coming up, LeBron had a front row seat to watch his Lakers win last night, but can they hold on to a playoff spot until the King returns?
King.
That's next on Speak.
You really wouldn't put Hop? You wouldn't take Hop?
Man, his salary is.
Lakers fans were rewarded with a career-high 35 points from Austin Reeves in their win over the Magic last night. LA is currently in the play-in tournament with 10 games left, and head coach Darvin Ham said they anticipate LeBron James coming back at some point in the regular season. We have a Lakers fan at the table, Mr. TJ Houshmandzadeh. Can the Lakers hold on until LeBron returns?
Yes. And it's not even, it's like.
You didn't even say that with confidence.
They better hold on.
Okay, that's what
it is. They better hold on. If we can't get in to the play-in game, AD got to go. If we can't get into the play-in game, AD got to go.
Dang.
Like, Austin Reeves said this last night. Friday night, you commit the foul, you miss the free throws, you leave your guy.
You had to let it go, yeah.
Like,
true Laker fan.
You gotta be able to bring us home. We gotta at least go 11 games or 10 games. That's 8-2, 7-3. We play the Suns twice, the Jazz twice, who's fighting for the playoffs as well. Timberwolves, the Bulls twice, and we play the Clippers. We ain't beat the Clippers all season. AD got to bring this home. If he bring us home, we can bring him back another year. We don't get to the playoffs, AD got to go.
That was definitely coming from the soul, TJ.
Yeah, like, we should not be in it. Since they made this trade, like, once LeBron went down, I was like, whoa, AD is playing.
Yeah.
And then we played the Knicks, and it just went downhill. It was like they just punked him. Like, he just went downhill. He went. It ain't been the same since.
Slick, do you think that they can hold on until LeBron returns?
They can, but I'm not counting on that they will.
So AD gone then.
In your universe, they are. Here's what everybody seems to be missing is they're not a very good team. AD has been putting up numbers, and they're not a very good team. They barely beat the Orlando Magic last night. They lost.
The Magic just beat the Clippers on Sunday, though.
They lost to the Houston Rockets, okay?
Yeah, that was bad.
The Dallas Mavericks, they got beat without Luka Doncic on the floor, okay? They're not a good team.
Kyrie played.
Kyrie did play.
Kyrie had 34.
Kyrie played well. Kyrie played, yeah. Okay. we'll get to that some other time. And contrary to what everybody thinks, the schedule is not quite as soft as you make it out to be. It's not that they're playing teams with great records, but they're playing teams that are as desperate as they are. Mm. The Bulls are desperate to get into, with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Vucevic, they're desperate to make the play in, and they're in position to make the play-in. The Suns are trying to put their deal together. The Jazz are trying to steal that spot from the Lakers. The Timberwolves are there. So they're not going to get any easy games. And they have one more back-to-back, which means AD is going to miss at least one more game.
He's going to miss. Yeah, he don't
play
that.
And as tight as this is right now, look, can they do it? Yes. But
no, ain't no back-to-backs.
I'm not.
No more back-to-backs. AD going to play all 10.
At Jazz, at Clippers. That's a back-to-back, fourth and the fifth.
Slick, let me ask you a question, because you're the best.
So he's going to sit the Clipper game.
I mean, he can't. Yeah. He has to play that game.
No, I guarantee you he's going to sit that game.
I don't know.
He shouldn't have sat the last game.
He's got to play that game, especially if they're in the situation they're in now where they're playing for the play-in spot and they're not.
He's been sitting pain-free.
Slick.
I don't make the rules.
Listen, all I'm saying is it's going to hit the fan.
AD, if you want to stay in L.A., you better leave us, bro.
Game.
You want to stay out here.
He's going to be driving.
Yeah.
driving
he's going to be outside crypto.
But Slick, like, so you're the basketball expert, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of go to you offset to get my basketball, right, stuff solid, right? So I don't want to seem crazy on TV. Because I watch and I study, but you know it. Mm-hmm. Why is it that, like, in basketball, they don't really do the back-to-back games, right? Because I know it's supposed to, like, low risk. They don't want to get them injured for the future. Mm-hmm. But then we look at the situation with the Lakers, like, there won't be no future. There won't be no playoffs if their best player don't play and they're losing games.
It normally does not happen like this. Oh, Klay Thompson wasn't playing back-to-backs all year long.
He's playing them now.
They're in a dogfight. He's playing back-to-backs. This is I can't tell you how unusual this situation is, that they are saying he's pain-free.
Right.
And they're not playing back-to-backs as a preventive thing. Now, if you were in some other circumstance, I might understand that. But you are, what are you saving him for?
Well, yeah, that's Shady's point. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe some more time in Cabo. I don't know. If they don't make the playoffs, then it doesn't matter if he's healthy or pain-free in the offseason. Shady, you think that they can hold on until LeBron returns?
I hope so, right? I'm going to say yes, optimistic, because, I mean, I feel like in basketball and different sports, like, when the Boston's good, the Lakers are good, the Knicks are good, like, basketball is a good thing. Mm. And I hate to say in football, like, if the Cowboys are good, the Big Niners are good, the Steelers, like, it's good football. So, yeah, I hope that they can hold off until the King is back.
Crown, Respect,
Right? Got to respect the King James. I mean, I look at the Laker team, and, like, some games, they fight to the end. You see all these different role players stepping up, right? Like we talked about Austin last night, balling out.
Yeah.
He's been playing very, very well each and every game, getting more confidence, even the shot selection he's taking. He's getting to his groove. So, like, and there's games where AD is balling out, then there's games where he don't really show up. You talk about that Knicks game. I watched the game. I'm like, dang, where's the competitive nature at? Where's the fight back at? So, yeah, I just hope that the Lakers can pull it off, because basketball is better when the Lakers are a good team. And then you got King James in the playoffs.
You don't think if the Lakers get in the playoffs, they can compete with anybody?
I do. Now, I believe that.
What?
With LeBron James and his role players.
Yeah, if LeBron is back.
And the motivated AD, yes. I'm with TJ on that one.
We could beat anybody.
Well, we'll lose to anybody.
Well. Yeah. Well, I agree with that. We've done that.
I think they can hold on. I think the role players have done a well enough job up until this point. I think the pressure has now been raised because of the situation and the position that they're in and the way that AD has played and has also struggled. It's not like anyone on this Lakers roster organization doesn't understand what the stakes are. Right. Not having LeBron there is a devastating situation to be in, because you need your star. This is not just any star. It's LeBron James. When he first went down, the question was, is Anthony Davis going to be able to step up into the role that we assumed he was going to take from the moment that he got to Los Angeles? And I think for the most part, he has. I'm being probably a little more gentle than TJ would feel. I think for the most part, he's played well. He hasn't stepped up into the role where he's taken over the team and he feels like the dominant one.
Right.
I don't think that he is that personality, though.
Right.
So he needed to rise into that space for us to all feel like there was no anxiety. And I think for them to win the games that they have lost that we felt they should have won. Now, going down the stretch, he's going to have to do that. And that's what they need. Now, the way that Darvin kind of described this, it really is very ambiguous to when he's going to come back, mm-hmm. when LeBron will be back with the team. So the question is, can they hold on until LeBron comes back? We don't know. What is it, the last game?
Right. Like, How long do they have to hold on?
This isn't really a good timeline as to when they will have LeBron James back. But you only have to hold on to the play-in spot. I'm with TJ, though. You don't think that they can compete if they get into the playoffs?
No.
If LeBron is healthy, the way that the role players have been playing, and
that's
LeBron and AD is healthy and LeBron
is
healthy.
Can they win a round? Could they upset the Denver Nuggets? Yeah, just because I'm not convinced that the Denver
Nuggets. If they
beat the Nuggets, we going all the way.
If they beat the
Nobody's
Nuggets.
Nobody's counting on the Denver Nuggets to be.
Yeah, but that's
the
outrageous.
The only team that I'm concerned.
That would be outrageous, Slick.
Is the Suns with KD. That's it.
They're not beating them.
No, that's it.
But if everybody else,
then
you beat the number one seed.
No, they're not beating the Denver Nuggets, then they're not going anywhere.
Okay.
Look, they're playing for their play-in lives right now, and they are losing games. Or they're competing up or down to their competition. Now, you guys are suggesting, here's the other part, is that we're just ignoring. We're assuming that LeBron James, at age 38, after not having been able to even put any weight on that foot, for
you see, he got the boot off.
Weeks. Now he has the boot off. All right. Okay. All right. Lakers fan.
Yeah.
What is he going to be? And to your point, when is he going to get back? If he gets back, say, they make the play-in. They finish the regular season. He's coming for the play-in. You're going to throw him right into a play-in game.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just his presence.
Come on, man. Come on now.
This is why I believe.
It's the king, man.
This is why I believe Darvin Ham said what he said, was to hold the hope out there. To rally these guys. Hey, I expect him back. That wasn't for us. That was for the team. Keep playing, keep grinding. Because, look, if he ain't coming back, let's say he doesn't come back. Are you saying they're still competitive?
We barely competitive without him, so no.
Yeah.
But he's that good. LeBron is that good to where he affects winning. He's like a really good quarterback. He affects winning.
38. 40,
guys play better when he's on the court.
And what's the point in holding him out? What's the point in not throwing him back in? If it's a play-in game, this is one game for your life.
That's a whole other segment. It wouldn't be him holding them holding him out. It would be him deciding that this is not.
No. I don't agree with that, because the Lakers not making the playoffs again is a much bigger deal than any of his longevity. I think you're going towards the Bronny thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could predict mm-hmm. that's where you're headed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lakers missing the playoffs again, I think, is a much bigger deal to his legacy and what's going on with LA than Bronny. But you're right. That's another segment. Coming up, we're not done talking about Aaron Rodgers. He could be on his way to the Big Apple, but we will tell you if we're confident he'll return to MVP form. That's next on Speak. Aaron Rodgers said before last season that Alan Lazard is ready to make a jump and be a number one receiver. Well, Lazard is now a Jet, and he expects to see his former quarterback in New York. Speak up.
He's a big reason why I'm here today. I can't deny that. You know, he stood up on a table for me during training camp when I probably didn't deserve to make the roster. Now, obviously, him being here it definitely helps. And definitely helps the entire organization be able to take that next step that they need to make a deep playoff run and go win that Lombardi Trophy.
Well, what's wrong, Shady?
Wait, did he just say he probably shouldn't have made the roster, but because of A-Rod?
Yeah.
Yo, listen, home. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut this.
No.
Like, what are we talking about here? I don't want players like that.
No,
I want a player that deserves to be there because he's nice.
Wait.
I'm better than everybody in the room.
Hey.
I did great against the D-backs. I'm balling. I don't want nobody saying, yeah, I mean, I'm going to speak because, you know what I mean, Joey looked out for. Like, no, I don't want that. And you come into a team that's desperate for success. The Jets, even though they haven't been winning, but that's a great franchise. Like, they want to win. That's in the Big Apple. They don't want this type of attitude. I'm mad he said that. He should have kept that to himself.
That, I just would said, never say nothing like
I work hard. I'm a hell of a player. You know, A-Rod, he witnessed that when I was in Green Bay with him, and that's why I'm here. Not, oh, man, hey, bro, look. I don't know how I made the team. A-Rod made a call. Like, what is he talking about? Yeah, that was crazy, though.
I mean, that's how you have to talk about Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers needs you to speak real highly of him.
He shouldn't have made the team, though.
We can speak highly of Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Without putting ourselves down. Like, I didn't deserve
some people
to
like
make
you
the
to,
team.
Some people believe that speaking highly of you. Like, some people think speaking highly of yourself is talking down on them. Just saying.
Wait, does he make this team at the wide receiver room without A-Rod?
Clearly, honestly, according to him, no.
Yeah.
I'm about to say the same.
Before I heard that, I would have said yes. After hearing that, I'm not so sure, man. Corey Davis, Elijah Moore.
Solid, yes.
But they best receiver, Garrett Wilson. How he going to beat those guys out with that mentality?
Well, is he also going to help Aaron Rodgers get back to MVP form, TJ?
Those other guys I named are.
Now, so you think that Aaron Rodgers will get back to MVP form?
100%. Yes, Aaron Rodgers can play. The way the game is now, you hit him, you better take him down lightly. You can't fall on him. We talked about this earlier. The way the Packers are holding on to him and playing this game with him, he has a lot to prove, and he's going to prove that. Aaron Rodgers is one of the 10 best quarterbacks, maybe 7, to ever play. Not to ever play. And so getting back to MVP form, absolutely. But, man, Lazard, like, bro, don't. Me and Shady, was when we heard him say that off camera, I can't believe he said that. So, yes, Garrett Wilson will be one of the main reasons he can get back to MVP form. Absolutely.
Shady, you think he'll go back to MVP form?
I don't think so. I think them days of MVPs.
You know why you think that? Now it all makes sense. The guys he was throwing to didn't even believe in themselves last year.
The reason why is because I think A-Rod is still an elite quarterback. I think he'll still have a good year. The thing is, like, to be MVP of the old is over. But to be MVP for the Jets is new. That's to come. Mm-hmm. They don't need him to go out there and be A-Rod with Devontae Adams. They don't need no more of that. They don't need 300, 400 yards to games with 4 or 5 touchdowns. They don't need that because they actually last year almost made the playoffs with Zach Wilson, and his production was bare minimum. So they don't need him to be that. The MVP for them is no picks, which A-Rod, he doesn't throw picks. You know, don't go out there and have to win every game, which he's used to doing. They have a great defense, a top 5 defense last year. Just go out there and be efficient. And I think A-Rod can still do that.
I don't think this is as turnkey as everyone thinks it is. I just don't. Aaron Rodgers couldn't make the playoffs last year in a division with the Lions, the Bears, and Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. He lost to the Lions in the game he needed to win to make the playoffs. His season last year, statistically, was worse than Russell Wilson's last year with Seattle. Robert Saleh, I think, is a great leader. He seems like he's a good coach, but he's won 11 games in the league. This is not Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers. This is not Sean McVay and the Rams with Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. Bruce Arians was 56-39 before Tom Brady got there. Sean McVay got Jared Goff to a Super Bowl before Matthew Stafford got there. Robert Saleh has won 11 games. This is the New York Jets. I hear you. They want to win.
I mean.
But it's been a long time before they were, since they've been habitually competitive.
Joy, you know what, though? When you name all those teams and those quarterbacks that were on those teams, just look at all the skilled players that they played with. And then look at what Aaron Rodgers played with last year. When he had Devontae Adams, he was that dude. As soon as he lost that dude, look what happens. Look at all the quarterbacks that are the best in the league now. They all have a guy that when the game is on the line, they can win. Every quarterback that we think is a top quarterback, all have that dude.
Yeah, not,
minus Lamar. All have that dude. You can't name a quarterback that does not have a guy that wins whenever he needs to win. You can't.
Don't confuse this with me defending Dak Prescott, but weren't you guys just dragging him because he wasn't the same quarterback without Amari Cooper?
Well, that was,
so now you're telling me Aaron Rodgers isn't the same quarterback.
Well, he had an all-pro receiver, this is for the records.
Adam.
It's not a Cowboys segment.
I'm just saying.
CeeDee Lamb was an all-pro.
I'm just saying,
that's hard to do now.
We're kind of giving Aaron a pass.
Aaron Rodgers receivers, getting a pass?
What I'm saying is, he was really good with one of the best, and he was good last year, but he didn't have a guy that can win when they needed to win the majority of the time. Just look at the Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but you're right.
Look at that.
But, like, even watching A-Rod, like, I never see him in the pocket look so rattled, right? Looking at the rush. I've seen stuff with A-Rod I haven't seen in years.
That's what I meant by a pass.
Because if you got a guy on the outside that's going to win, you ain't worried about that rush because you don't let the ball go.
Here's my other question.
You letting it go. Okay,
here's the other question because I'm with Shady on that. He's going to a significantly worse offensive line.
Thank you.
He's going to a coach that's only won 11 games.
He's going to
a significantly worse offensive line. And keep in mind, Tom Brady is one of the greatest, the greatest quarterback to ever play it, but also one of the best leaders in the history of the game. Matthew Stafford was coming from the Lions, right, to Sean McVay, who, again, had gone to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who, let's just be honest about his personality. You can feel, maybe you do, that he's going to walk into the Jets and be motivated and inspiring and bring everyone together and take this team to the Super Bowl, which, by the way, he hasn't been back to since he won the Super Bowl in 2010. I don't think he's that guy. Personality-wise, these turnkey situations require you, if you're not a team that's right there on the cusp of success, which the Jets didn't make the playoffs last year, they require you to come in and do things like Tom Brady did with the Buccaneers, like Matthew Stafford was willing to listen to with Sean McVay and the Rams. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is that guy.
I believe because it's a new situation, that's what he's going to do. He knows what needs to be done. He was fed up the tail end of being with the Packers. It was the bare minimum he was there. It's a different dynamic. It's like when you get in a relationship. When you first meet her, man, you treat her like, oh my God, my ex-boyfriend or my ex treated me, oh, you treat me so great. And then when we set in, we've been together 10, 12 years.
You start getting a little more irritated?
We all know this.
Here's the hole in that. He wants to bring all the dudes in Green Bay to New York with him. They signed Lazard, who you just took issue with.
Yeah, but he ain't going to play now. He's going to play a little bit. He's going to play because they gave him $11 million.
But he's there. He said, I'm here because of Aaron.
Yeah.
So Aaron clearly wanted him there. So what does it say to you about Aaron Rodgers as a leader and as a guy who's going – does he recognize what the Jets already have? Or is this all about what makes Aaron most comfortable?
Well, Lazar, you can use him, right? Not as your number one, because Garrett Wilson's a real number one.
Yeah.
He's going to have a big year this year, like he did last year. I think he could be like a third down guy, right? Possession catch. You know, he does well at contested catches, third and eights, guy on his back and catches. So you can use him. But when A-Rod comes to this team is not this, even though their record is what their record is, they're not though some bum group of guys, though.
No,
on both sides of the ball, hold on, they got elite players.
Both sides.
So when you come here, A-Rod, because we want you. We come here, but we're going to look at you the same eyes. Look, I'm elite, you elite, right? It ain't like you carrying the load.
Wait a minute. Who led them last year? Like, and who led them where?
Okay,
the whole idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to make them a Super Bowl contender is he's going to come in and galvanize this team.
But listen. See, this is another thing. Okay, and I think the AFC East is a good division, right? They were in there fighting for that division.
They were not fighting for the division.
They were fighting
for
a playoff spot, not the division.
First of all, they split with the Dolphins. And they split with the Bills without any quarterback.
They were 7-10.
Yo, they had some games where it would be, they lost to the Patriots 3-9. The whole game, it was 3-3. The last quarter, the last punt, he gets it back.
And that's how they lost.
So you're talking about a team that was competing with nothing at quarterback. Zero. Me, that's four. Snapping the ball.
Packers lost to the Lions 26-6.
Joy, you bring
I'm talking about, the Jets. The Jets are number five defense.
I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, well, listen. I think Aaron Rodgers, right now, he puts that team as a contender. I'm being honest, as a contender. And they might win that division.
Ooh.
Depending on how the Dolphins do with Tua, because Tua's up and down with the injuries.
Don't be competitive.
And then the Bills, I don't think they got better. They lost a lot on defense and free agency. I'm going with the Jets. I watched them compete with nothing at quarterback.
You like to gamble.
I gamble a lot.
We might have to put dinner on that.
All right, well, we can do it back.
We got a whole offseason to decide. Coming up,
take your time.
Klay Thompson and Dylan Brooks were not playing nice over the weekend. Do the Warriors and Grizzlies have a real rivalry? That's next on Speak.
Bad about Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, like
I have.
All right, Dylan Brooks and Klay Thompson exchanged some taunts during the Grizzlies' win over the Warriors on Saturday. At one point, Klay flashed four fingers.
That's powerful.
Talking about his four championships. And Brooks had a lot to say after the win. Speak up, Dylan Brooks.
He's got four rings. And that's all he was saying. His motivation to us. We want a ring as well. You know, it's friendly trash talk, but, you know, I just hold a lot of real estate over there in San Francisco.
Man, is that how he talks?
No, that's not how he talks.
He lost his
voice.
It
sounds like it.
Yeah. I mean,
shady. Is this a real rivalry between the Warriors and Grizzlies?
Like, no, it's not a rivalry. What's a rivalry? That's not a rivalry. Like, one team has a lot of success, right? with Hall of Fame players, right? With really, really great players. The other team is a young team that's aspiring to be, you know, what the Warriors can or what the Warriors are. So I get it. They got a lot of good players. Got some solid players. They got one superstar who's not playing right now. So it can't be no rivalry. I do like his competitive nature, though, Brooks. I like the way he comes off. But sometimes, like we see with the NFL with Eli Apple, it's like something like slow down for a second. Because you're just a solid player. You're not like a superstar. You have no rings. You have no type of success to talk about. So I hate when people try to make it a rivalry because it's trash talk. Like, one team is going to be remembered in, like, history forever. The other team is, like, they're a good young team. Can't be a rivalry.
You think it's a rivalry, TJ?
It's entertaining. Is it a rivalry?
Entertaining, right.
It's not there yet, but when the Grizzlies and Golden State play, I want to tune in. So I guess we could say it's a rivalry because I want to watch that game. Dylan Brooks has made this to the point where I want to tune in and watch the Memphis Grizzlies play the Golden State Warriors. He go at Draymond. And Rick had told me this earlier. He came into the league saying, I want to be Draymond. But now I'm going to go at you. We know Golden State is here, and you're chasing them. But if you're the team I'm chasing, I'm going to give you all I got. And they trying to punk him, and he not backing down. That's all it is. They trying to punk him. He ain't backing down. And so I guess it turns into a rivalry because you trying to sun me, and I'm not letting you.
Mm. Does it feel personal?
It does now.
Yeah. Do we know when they play right now, who's going to win?
No.
I think I do.
Where at?
If it's on the road.
I would pick
the Grizzlies.
On the road, we're going to lose on the road.
I would pick the Grizzlies right now.
In the traditional sense, do they have history? Very little history. But considering that we have so few real rivalries, we have so few battles where it feels personal and it feels like this beating you means more to me than beating anybody else. That's what it feels like on both sides, that there's something a little more at stake here. The Warriors can pretend like the Grizzlies, They don't want to lose to Dylan Brooks. They don't want to lose to the Grizzlies who came in talking mess. How much did they enjoy knocking them out of the playoffs last year? And how much did they acknowledge afterward, probably one of the toughest teams we played. That it wasn't as the way it was a 4-1, that it was much more competitive than that. So in the traditional sense, you're right. It's not a rivalry like Lakers-Celtics or anything like that. But there's something there. And I think it's building into a rivalry. So I don't have a problem with looking at it that way.
I'll go with you with building. I think rivalries are very special. They reach beyond the fan bases that are watching the games, right? Now, like, you're an NBA fan, yes, you might tune into this game because you know it's going to be a little spicier. But it's not like Celtics Lakers. Right. You know, there's not a tremor that spreads when these two teams are matching up. The history, you know what I mean? Like the banners, the effects that it's going to have on the city if you actually lose to this team. It's not there yet. And it's because the Warriors are just in a different class. The Grizzlies are aspiring to get into that class, but they have quite a ways to go because this is the current dynasty in the NBA. Well, but however you feel about how they're playing right now is irrelevant. They won the championship last year.
But that's what's interesting, because where they are right now is they're falling off. They're the old boxer who is wearing the belt, but they are hanging on for dear life to compete right now.
Yeah, I feel
it's a,
you.
It's a lot to
I
that,
hear
though.
You.
It's a lot
like,
to that.
It's still around the waist, and you haven't gotten a chance to take it off yet.
True, and I'm not saying the Grizzlies are the team that's going to do that.
Until you win your own championship. Forget beating us during the regular season. When I'm talking about a rivalry, I love the spice. I love the trash talk. I love that they make a regular season game interesting because you have this true, very real animosity for each other.
Yeah.
But just to me, if I'm the Warriors, I'm like, who is that? I don't know her.
Right. But that's the whole thing.
I do not know who
but
that is.
But that's it.
What?
But that's it.
Do they play in this
of
league?
Of all the teams, how many?
Four.
How many teams?
I don't have one. I don't have two. I have, Shady, I don't have
four
three.
Chips.
I have four.
And they got MVPs. They got all types of stuff over there. It can't be no rivalry.
But that's.
And then another thing is like, and the Warriors are still, they're wounded right now. They're missing Wiggins. So Wiggins was a big part of why they won the championship.
He ain't coming back.
Okay, yeah, he definitely ain't coming back. But they're missing that piece. And then even Payton.
Yeah.
Payton was a great piece to that defense. So they're kind of wounded. So when you talk about they're not beating them, they stand in the third, it's like, okay, first of all, we are a better team. Let's get that straight.
They did not come out, though, with Payton and Wiggins that you just spoke of last year.
They beat them. And on top of that, it's like, how are we a rivalry? Like, I'm a big dog.
You're right.
What are you talking about?
All of you. All of you have had somebody come at your neck. All of you have had somebody challenge you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they weren't in your class, if they weren't a threat at all, if you weren't even thinking about them, you wouldn't eat, like, I don't even know who you are.
You're going to say something, though. You're going to say something. Like if DJ Williams, linebacker, says something to me, right, I'm going to respond. But if somebody like Ray Lewis or Patrick Willis says, like, it might be even more entertaining. But, here,
but
like, but this it's
isn't
levels.
But this isn't a one-off at this point.
Come on,
like,
man.
Like, we've no, I, look, the Warriors
Brooks
are,
wouldn't get this interview if it wasn't for the Warriors. Let's keep it real. Come on, man, stop.
That's kind of the part. I'm with you that the Warriors are responding. So there is something there.
There's something.
They always respond, though.
Because the Warriors know that the Grizzlies are a problem now.
Man.
The Warriors know that the Grizzlies are a problem now. And others, and Clay and Steph and Draymond are like, get to where we going. They won't say they're a problem now, but they know that. They know that. Win a championship, then we can talk.
I just think it's different. Like, even like the old heads, they talk about how, you know, when the Pistons was running the show and Jordan was trying to, you know, surpass them, he was coming.
That was a rivalry.
And they knew Jordan was coming. But, like, I can't see.
Now, they're not coming like Jordan was coming. They're not doing that.
But what I'm saying is, like, it became a rivalry because this young dude is coming and this team is coming. But I can't see the Grizzlies being that. Like, I can't see the Grizzlies being the next 3-4 years, 5 years, the running the NBA. I can't even see that.
They have some steps to take together.
Come on now.
We'll see. It's a
Warriors.
Run.
As a Laker fan, I hope not.
We've got to take care of some family business. Shady has some hot takes. You don't want to miss this. What were we talking about at the beginning of the show?
Oh, yeah. I always got a hot take.
You got a hot take. I think we decided our takes were too spicy for the air. They might be speak after dark. What do you think, Shady?
I mean, listen, all I'm saying is this. When we talk about music, the best music of all time is from the East Coast.
That's where we disagree.
I mean, well.
That's where we disagree.
We sat here.
I'm going with the West Coast. He going with.
Are you from the West Coast,
yeah,
right?
you from the West Coast. We're from the East Coast.
Mine's is more factual. Like, if we just named all the greatest.
If we named all the greatest rappers.
I'm from the Midwest.
He's from the Midwest.
Was that Nelly, right? Nelly around there.
He's going with the West Coast. See, he closer to the East.
I start naming them, though. You got Dipset.
When you Dipset, you got
You got Queensbridge. You got Nas.
Ice Cube, Snoop.
You got the Locks.
The Gang, you got 40.
Sitting
Richie Rich, Sugar Free.
G-Unit. Dipset.
Kendrick.